would you like to listen to her read the Bible all the time? I got a job for you when you're done in Pensacola. We're gonna put together our own Bible reading. Isn't that interesting to listen to her read it? That's why I have mine read to me, but she's better than the people I have. So we're going to hire you to do that when you're done at Pensacola, and we'll put together the whole Old Testament. Thank you. If you can follow along with that, it's tremendous. But you don't understand it completely, because many of you have read the book of Habakkuk many times, especially those of you who've read the Bible through. But it's got a powerful, powerful truth. And as she read this through, I've had the privilege of studying this all out. And so I know what was taking place in some of these places. But we talked about chapter 1 already, where Habakkuk began to question God because of the wickedness of Judah. And in turn, the courts were bad, the judges were bad, everything was bad, violence covered the earth. It was bad times. And he waited and waited and said, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like, God, you've fallen asleep. Because God, remember, Habakkuk had grown up under Josiah when revival came, and he saw the greatest, some of the greatest years that that Judah ever had. And that's what he was expecting. God, when are you going to bring those years back? When are you going to change Judah? Have you fallen asleep? And God said, no. I'm already at work in my time. And I'm raising up the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. And then Jonah had a little bit of a fit with that, because he said, and I'll explain this to you, probably not today because of time, but he began to explain to him or complain against God, because how can such an unrighteous nation, an ungodly nation, come in and destroy Judah? I can understand you dealing with Judah. I can understand punishment upon Judah, but why would you allow such an ungodly nation to do that? Henceforth, when Lloyd Jones wrote this at the rise of the World War II, during World War II, it had fallen in hard times. Hitler was on his rise. Remember that? The wickedness, the gas chambers, people were afraid. What happens if Hitler conquers the world? So that's the background. So he took the book of Habakkuk. And shortly during the war, he preached a series of sermons on Habakkuk in response to the anguish arising from this great conflict, the war to end all wars. He showed the people four lessons of the exchange between God and the questioning prophet Habakkuk. And this is what he said. And this comes from just more than chapter 1, but he pulls it together. And then we'll look at the chapters individually. But the very first thing he said, this was his first point. He said, folks, history is under God's control. History is under God's control. And we see that in God's reply to Habakkuk. He said, behold, I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. But the idea was, I'm going to do it in my time. Habakkuk, I'm completely under control. I am doing something. I'm raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylon nation. You see, every nation, and this is him preaching this, and I just paraphrasing some of it. Every nation on earth is under the hand of God. For there is no power of this world that is not ultimately controlled by him. And think about this in light of China, Russia, South Korea, or North Korea, I mean, and what's happening in our world today. Listen, and I say this, and I don't mean to be mean, but if Kamala Harris gets the president of the United States, I'm telling you what, I believe we will see World War III. So you can see where I'm coming from. You can see where Lloyd Jones was coming from, Dr. Jones, with the people who were seeing Hitler on the rise and all this wickedness coming in and all that was going to take place. But he wanted to remind people, and I want to remind you, that history is under God's control. Things are not appear, or they are not what they appear to be. Again, it is seen that the astute military prowess, the power of the Chaldeans was brought unto them. They brought that on because they built themselves a great nation. They built themselves a powerful nation. But God reminds Habakkuk, it wasn't the Chaldeans that built themselves up, for it was the Lord who raised them up. It's the Lord who's raised up China, and he has a purpose for China. Or Russia, these communist countries. I mean, Babylon was a wicked country, but God raised them up because he had a purpose and he had a plan. God is seated in the heavens, and the nations to him are as grasshoppers. He said there is a drop, there as a drop in the bucket, or a small dust of balance. The Bible asserts that God is over all. He started the historical process. He controls the historical process, and one day he will end the historical process. And we should never lose sight of this crucial fact. So the first point he made, and people were really concerned with World War II, just as people are concerned today about World War III. And his first point was from Habakkuk, history is under God's control. China does nothing without God's hand. God allowing it. Russia will not do anything without God's hand or God allowing it. I don't know why he's raised up these powerful communist countries, but he has a perfect plan. Just like he raised up Babylon, and then he raised up Persia to accomplish his purpose, and then he raised up the Greeks and you can see now through history where the Greeks came in and became a great nation and controlled the world for a time, and they built Rome and for missionaries and different things of that day. And then Rome came in and really is somewhat still in power today. But God had a plan and a purpose. He raised up every single one of these nations for his glory, for his purpose, his plan. And Lloyd-Jones reminded the people that history is under God's control, just as you see here in the book of Habakkuk. But then he had a point too. He said, not only is history under God's control, but history follows a divine plan. The events of history are not accidental, though they may appear to us. They follow God's perfect plan. There's purpose in history and what has happened in every century, and it's not accidental. You know, remembering that the church is at the center of God's plan today for us. Let us never forget the pride and arrogancy of the churches in honestly, years gone by. The church is drawn away from God. It's not today what it used to be. You know, the sitting back in, this is what he said, the sitting back in self-satisfaction, the enjoying of our so-called cultured sermons and learned ministry. People just feeling just a little ashamed to mention such things as conversion and soul winning and the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the church needed to be chastised. And all that is so difficult for us to understand. But history follows a divine plan. See, he told the people, because if Hitler took over the world, what would happen to the church? It's going to come under great persecution. And if communist China takes over America, guess what? What's going to happen to the church? Same principle today. People were fretting, and we're only looking toward World War III. They were in World War II. But he said, don't panic. Habakkuk panicked a little bit, but God had to teach him a truth. And the truth was, history is under God's control. He's got everything planned out. History followed a divine plan. God has a perfect plan. Even for America and the world today. Number three, he said, history has a divine timetable. This comes out in several places in the book of Habakkuk's prophecy. In chapter 1, God told us he's going to do something in your days, and that's not before or after, but precisely when he wanted it to happen. In chapter 2, the point is made even stronger because the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, he said, wait for it. Certainly it's going to come without delay. History is following God's divine timetable. He has a divine plan. He's in control. He has a divine plan. He has a divine timetable. And it's in history is exactly where God wants it to be. That's what we learn from Habakkuk. That's why Habakkuk is an awesome, awesome book of the Bible during World War II. And I think today, probably one of the greatest books in the Old Testament for us to understand and study and realize is the book of Habakkuk. Because from this book, we can see that God is in control of history. And that God has a perfect plan. And God has a perfect timetable. But his fourth point was the point I want you to see. History is bound up with his divine kingdom. Do you know everything that's happened in this world so far? It's all bound up in one day having a new heaven and a new earth. That's what it's all about. It's bound up in God raising us up in the resurrection time, giving us a glorified body, and that we'll spend all eternity. He wipes out this old earth, and he wipes out this old heaven, and he creates a new heaven and a new earth, and we worship with him for all eternity in the most perfect environment. Everything boils down to that divine timetable, that divine plan, and that's the divine kingdom. See, we get our eyes set on today. And we're panicking about the persecution that's going to come, battles that are going to come. What if they shoot off the bombs that the bombs that are can literally wipe out a whole nation? What's it going to be like? See, we panic. Habakkuk panicked when he found out it was the Chaldeans who were as wicked and pagan as could be. They didn't support God. They didn't worship God. They wanted nothing to do with God. They were going to take away the temple, and they destroyed the temple. They weren't going to create a worship place for Israel. Revival wasn't coming. Judgment was coming. But God was in control of everything. And I wish I could have the time to go through how Babylon was the perfect place. They had defeated the Assyrians who had taken Israel into captivity, the northern kingdom. So he combined the southern kingdom, Jerusalem and Judea, with the southern kingdom. So all them were together in probably the greatest city that maybe the world's ever seen up to this point, the great city of Babylon. Matter of fact, it was so amazing. The city was so amazing. When it came time for them to be released by the Persian king Cyrus, only 50,000 Jews left. You know how many Jews were in Babylon? Millions, folks. God had a perfect timetable. Now, I know they didn't understand it at that time. Habakkuk didn't understand all that was going on, but from the book of Habakkuk, we see that God is in control of history and that God has a perfect plan and God has a perfect timetable for everything that's going to happen. But history is all bound up in the divine kingdom one day. You know, the story of other nations mentioned in the Old Testament is relevant as only as it bears upon the history of the church and what God has in store in eternity. All that really matters in the world is God's kingdom. You know, he tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. You've heard me talk about this before. Every day of my life, I put on the helmet of salvation. This morning, I put on the helmet of salvation. I think what the helmet of salvation is, it's our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The real salvation is going to come. Listen, when you got saved, you believed, but that wasn't salvation. Salvation comes when you get an eternal body, when you get a heavenly body, when you get a perfect body. And you will live forever and worship God like he's never, like you've never could imagine. Heaven's going to be the most amazing place. That's the salvation that God has promised us. See, we fret about all the things that go wrong to us as a Christian. Well, God promised to take care of those who are. Listen, God's going to fulfill that promise, but he's going to fulfill it when salvation comes in his eternal kingdom. So you know what? I'm going to suffer just like unsaved people suffer. I'm going to have cancer just like many people outside of this church have cancer. I'm gonna have the same battles that unsaved people have because I live in this world. But because I am a believer, our salvation is nearer today than when I first believed. Jesus is coming back and he's going to give us everything he's promised to give us. But we may not see it in this lifetime. But folks, we're going to see it completely just as he promised he would do it. And so many people are getting discouraged thinking, has God forgotten me? I mean, I got saved. I'm his child. No, God hasn't forgotten you. He's in control of everything. He has a perfect plan. He has a perfect timetable. But this is what we got to understand. It all centers around his kingdom. Not ours, not the United States, not China, not Babylon, not Persia. Those nations come and those nations go, but the eternal kingdom will last forever. We need to put on the helmet of salvation, looking forward to that day, reminding God that I look forward to the day when we will see the true salvation of the Lord. See, history is bound up with the divine kingdom. Boy, I wish I had time to go through it all, and I will complete this next week because it's worth hearing. But if you just understand these, because you know what? I think in the days to come, you know, I know, and maybe God spared Mr. Trump for a reason. He probably should be dead today, apart from the hand of God. But I think, don't think this is the last attempt on his life. And what if it does happen? And Kamala does get elected as the next president of the United States, as the most liberal senator there's been, the most liberal president that will ever step foot in our nation. Boy, it's a lot. But then I go back to the book of Habakkuk. It says God is in control of all nations. God has a perfect plan. And God has a perfect timetable. And God's plan centers around his eternal kingdom one day. That's all we've got to focus on. So what I'm trying to tell you is, when I studied the book of Habakkuk, God has given me such a peace about everything that happens. If Mr. Trump is elected, wonderful. We get a reprieve for a few years. But if he's not, my God's still in control. I think it just hastens his return. But go back to Habakkuk. Judah was wicked. The judges were corrupt. Violence filled Jerusalem. Sound a little bit like America today? He said, God, why aren't you doing something? God said, I am. I've got it completely under control. I'm in control of all nations. And I've got a perfect plan. I've got a perfect timetable. It may not fit yours, but it's mine. And it all settles around my eternal kingdom. Boy, when you look at it from that perspective, folks, it allows you to sleep at night. You don't have to worry about who the next president of the United States could be. I'm going to vote, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to vote for Mr. Trump. Because I believe he has the best principles and the best practices. Is he the most godly man I've ever met? Absolutely not. But I think he's the best one for our country. So I'm not telling you how to vote. That's who I'm going to vote for. And I will vote. But win or lose, I'll lay my head on my pillow and I'll sleep at night. Because my God's in control of every nation. My God has a perfect plan. My God has a perfect timetable. And it all centers around his kingdom. I told you this, I worry about my granddaughters. But God gave me a peace about that. So each morning, some of my prayer time is spent praying for those little girls to be saved. And then I'll get to be with them for all eternity. That's all I got to worry about. I want them to be saved. I want family to be saved. I don't have to worry about the nation. I don't have to worry about communist China or Russia and Putin or North Korea. I don't have to worry about that. God's in control of every nation. He has a perfect plan and a perfect timetable. And it all centers around his eternal kingdom. So if you're going to worry about anything, worry about somebody who's lost and needs a Savior. If you're going to lay awake at night, think about that. Not where this country's going, not where it's going to end up. Because one day, we'll get everything God has promised to us. And it's going to be perfect. Because it's all centered around his eternal kingdom. That's why I love the book of Habakkuk. It's the first book that gives me that sense, and I needed it right about this time. I needed that promise. I needed that truth that God is in control of every nation, all history. His time, his plan is perfect. His timetable, exactly when he wants it. And it all centers around him coming back again and setting up his eternal kingdom, bringing us the salvation that he promised to us, an eternal home in heaven. What great truth. We learned that from the book of Habakkuk. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reading that so eloquently. And when we read it, we just don't completely understand it. But this is one of the greatest prophecies. It didn't bring judgment down upon Israel. It didn't prophesy like Joel and Amos and Nahum did on Nineveh. But as they'll see in a couple weeks, that Habakkuk came to the truth in his life. He was panicking. He was going out of his mind, and he said, oh, I get it now. The just shall live by faith. And that's how we need to live today, by faith in the Son of God, that he is in control of history. He does have a perfect plan. He does have a perfect timetable, and it all centers around one day his eternal kingdom. Give us that peace. Give us that faith, God. For the just shall live by faith. What a powerful truth in this book. Apply this truth. I think we need this book more than any of the other prophecies or the prophets, the minor prophets, this one for this time, like we've never needed it before. So you'd help us to use the book of Habakkuk to give us a peace, knowing that God is in complete control. Now, with every head bowed,